Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where it's always a wonderful, safe space filled with love and compassion and an incredible desire to heal, starting with ourselves and then our families. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am so delighted to have back with us this morning Tracy Barry McGee, who I had the pleasure of meeting last December at our Sunrise Retreat in Washington, D.C. And Tracy has been with us almost every week since. Let me tell you a little bit about Tracy. She's phenomenal. She is the founder of the Sister Keeper Empowerment Center, which is a 501c3, and the I Define Me movement, which she established in 2002. Which has presence locally, nationally, and globally. She is an empowerista for girls and women, and she is a social emotional learning expert, entrepreneur, licensed therapist, author, mentor, and international motivational speaker. She's also the producer, host, and creator of a new wellness talk show called Own Your Now. And I'm sure she'll share more about that a little bit later. Congratulations on that as well. Tracy is a St. Louis, Missouri native, a graduate of the University of Missouri, and she travels the country speaking about mental health awareness, restorative justice for girls of color, relational aggression, social emotional learning, self-awareness, body image, anti-bullying, literacy, and the value of mentoring, wellness circles. She also speaks about how to make a difference in our community. She is an NAACP Community Hero 46th Image Award winner. She's received numerous accolades for her contribution to mental wellness. She's a member of the American Counseling Association. I lost my screen for a second. She's a member of the American Counseling Association, the Alliance of Black Mental Health Professionals, and she is a PBS 9 network partner and a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, St. Louis Metropolitan Alumni Chapter. She also serves as a nonviolence ambassador for the King Center, and she is just a phenomenal, phenomenal woman and spirit and sister friend and all kinds of fabulousness. And we are so honored and delighted to have you back with us, Tracy, this morning. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. You know what? I should add to my bio that I'm a Sunrise sister because I feel
You
like
are a
I
Sunrise sister. You're part of the family. You are here every week since we met, it feels like, and it is. And I just want to say, love your energy and your spirit and always being here for us and creating incredible programs for women and girls. And this morning, our topic is so phenomenal, I think. It's really about what's in our cup. You know, how do we take care of ourselves while loving other people? And I have a cup here, which is ironically has some superheroes on it, which is cracking me up that this is the cup I found and I laid eyes on this morning. I want to talk about that in a second.
Yes.
But we often find ourselves giving into others and pouring into others and doing so much for everybody except ourselves. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. How do we fill our own cup? How do we do that? Because I was at an event last night late, finding myself literally nodding at a big barbecue. And it was like, oh my God, it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm nodding, about to fall asleep, exhausted. And I think this topic is so perfect for today. So I want to open up by just asking you a question about what it first means to fill our cup. What does that mean to you? Can you explain the whole notion of filling from our cup?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I want to say I'm looking in the chat and I saw that Ray Rich stated that that he felt like he's just about to throw in the towel and he needed some encouragement and that he couldn't be here long. And so I think the biggest piece for us is we need to find our tribe. And I'm look, this is a space for everyone, so I hope that you can stay as long as you can. And we will definitely keep you in your prayers. But when we talk about when we talk about filling up your cup earlier, before everybody came in, Kelly was like, okay, I got to get my cup. I got to get my cup. So like I have a cup and my cup says, love yourself. But the cup is a metaphor for the things that we put inside of our cups. And sometimes as a therapist, I find that we go, 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 and our cup is always on E. Or the moment that we get a little bit in our cup, we want to fill up everybody else's cup. But actually, what you give to others should be the overflow. And part of on the talk show that I have, it's about sipping off the saucer. Remember, Kelly, or any of those, like when you're in, like you're drinking off the, if you have the saucer with the cup, and you want to get the overflow. Like the overflow is what you give everybody else. And sometimes people say, "Hey, how you doing?" And you're like, "I'm sipping off the saucer of life. Like I want to be sipping off the saucer." That's what we want for everyone. And the key to this is also realizing that oftentimes when our cup is empty, we don't have those tools. And so it's, you don't want it to get to that point. So you want to consistently have tools that you can use, you know. That's the space that I'm in. And I'm not sure what Ray Rich is going through, but the pandemic hit us all hard. And during the pandemic, I lost my mother and my father. And as a therapist, my cup was empty. I literally stopped practicing because I was grieving that loss. And I had to recenter myself and figure out what did that look like for me? How was I going to refill my cup? Sure, we could sit and have coffee and tea and all those things every day, but my cup, you could be amongst a million of people and your cup is still empty.
That's right. And so how do you, what are some of your tools and tricks and tips? With last week we had Sylvia High here talking with us, which was incredible also. And she shared some tips about being a decision. You know, it's a decision in her mind to put ourselves first. It's a choice to put ourselves first. And so she shared a tool with that about how she plans her vacation. Share with where she puts her personal vacations on her schedule first and then works her work around them. So share some of your tools. Yes, Tracy,
You know,
please.
I was listening to Cynthia to her last week. I was like, I got to sign up for the conference. When you're doing the work that we're all doing, especially if you're in the field of working with others, I call it life work. And it used to be that we all talked about what does work-life balance look like? Mental, physical, spiritual, like what is this financial? What does that look like? And for me, I realized that this is something I will probably be doing for the rest of my life. So it's not a work-life balance thing, it's a life work. And that means that I have to figure out ways to do this from the moment that I put my feet on the ground, even before I put my feet on the ground, while I'm laying in the bed and I wake up, my cell phone is not the first thing that I reach for. You know, I reach for my heart and I center myself. You know, my shirt says, "Sis, you got this." But that S is sitting with myself before I interact with anyone else. You know, I grew up in a home that I didn't always get a chance to center myself. Or my mom may have not always been there because she was a single mom and she was working. My dad was not there often, but because he was somewhere working. So I had to learn to be comfortable sitting with myself. And sometimes people are not okay with being alone. And there's a
That's
difference
right.
between being lonely and being alone. You know, like you feel like when you're with the water, Kelly, you're not alone. I mean, you may
A
have
thousand percent.
Gigi, your puppy, your dog with you, but you're finding that safe space. So finding a safe space to center yourself. And that might be for some people on a Sunday church, it might be here, it might be walking the labyrinth, it may be even in your car. And I do those meditation moments in my car. So centering yourself, finding a safe space to sit with yourself so you can anchor yourself. And then pouring into yourself positivity. So having an inner conversation. So I'm just using sis for now, having an inner conversation. Like, how am I going to, what mantras are you saying to yourself internally? Because if I say, everybody, this is like a really quick exercise. If you say to yourself, don't say it out loud, but just say, "I didn't cause it. I can't control it. I can't cure it." So say it to yourself. One, two, three. Did you hear yourself? You heard yourself say it. You know, I can say another one is, "I support but I do not sacrifice my health or dignity, because we're talking about self-care. I support, but I do not sacrifice my health or dignity. Say it to yourself. One, two, three. You hear yourself.
Yes.
And so if you're saying negative things to yourself, you hear yourself. You're feeding yourself. That's some psychosomatic stuff. And so we don't want to say those negative things to ourselves. We want to pour positivity into ourselves. That's that inner conversation, the inner voice, your inner spirit. And then that last self, S, is stated out loud. Affirm yourself. Use a word, get grab a word every day and focus on that, whether it's your scripture word, whether it's the serenity prayer or one word. And you're able to do that so that you can reflect on how your day is. So that's the first thing I do before I even get out the bed, is try to center myself and set those goals. And then when I get in the shower, that's when I'm having the conversation with God or whoever your whatever's larger than you. For me, it's God. And I listen. Now God is pouring into me. The water's pouring. And I'm look, y'all, I don't need lights on. I know my body. I might light a candle. And now I'm like, God, what is my day supposed to look like? How am I supposed to pour into myself first before anybody else, before them kids get up, them grandkids, my son called me from a whole nother state, my husband telling me what he want or couldn't eat. I need to make sure that Tracy is good first, because my cup needs to be what? Overflowing. When I come out and I get my tea and everything, I journal. So I know people are like, how do you do all of this? And I get up and go to the gym because I put myself first. Self-care is a priority. And while I'm doing this, I'm trying to put those boundaries in place. I send us a quote to my son every day. When he reads it, that's not up to me. Because if I know that there's something bigger than me that's taking care of me, guess what? It's something bigger than me taking care of him, taking care of my husband, taking care of everybody, because I don't really want that responsibility anymore. And I know people are talking about the soft life. I don't know what soft life looks like. I just know I really want to stress. Life is too short. I will kill myself overly palpitating about everyone else. So now my cup is full, and now I have the capacity to send out a message or check my emails or do all those things that I need to do. And then I don't go back to it. I go on to the next thing and the next thing.
That's so good. I love it. It's something you said that I really love about giving ourselves to ourselves, giving, focusing on ourselves first, and that I and the word sis is a really simple tool. The word sis and how you broke it down is really special because of the self-love, self-care, being selfish. I was talking about with Dr. Vicky last weekend. Being selfish finally is not selfish, it's self-preservation. And it's really critically important. I love that. I love also, Susan Taylor said something years ago that prompted me to leave one of my jobs. And she said, you have to give yourself to yourself before you give yourself away. And it was the basis of her In the Spirit book.
I got
And you
that
have
one.
that book. It's a beautiful, simple phrase. Give yourself to yourself before you give
Put
yourself
yourself
away. And we
away.
always give ourselves to everybody else first. So I love your paradigm shift and your shift from using that simple word, sis, right there on your t-shirt. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I see you being ready to say something. Were you about to say something?
When you talked about Susan Taylor, that was a pivotal part of my life as well. And for those that are on here, I had kind of put together like a ritual, like self-care kit. But one of those things with the kit is resources. Like, we're talking about resources all the time. That Susan Taylor, Lessons in Living, a great resource. I literally, I when I go to book signings, I have them to sign the page that changed my life, that allowed a shift for me. And when you said selfish, I automatically thought about self. And then I'm a fish, so I'm gonna keep swimming. So if people say you're being selfish, no, I am putting myself first. And I mean, we talked about this last week. That's even what they tell you to do on an airplane.
That's right.
I'm a therapist, y'all. So I often, my kids would say, remember when that show came out And they said, "You have three lifelines. Who are you gonna call?" And they said, "We won't call my mom because she's not gonna answer the phone." I don't want to be your plan A. I want you to really process what that looks like. And I know that I often didn't have people to support me. And clearly, I probably have disabilities that you don't even see, but I didn't always have someone to support me. So I wanted to give my kids the tools that they can use if I wasn't here. And so that means that, I mean, I might be their plan B, but I want them, when they call me, I'm gonna listen, but they will leave a message. And then I'm able to go back and process it when I'm in the moment. Because I remember there was a time when I would pick up the phone. What's wrong? No. Not what's wrong. I want to say what's right. Like, I want to know what's right. Because what's wrong
That's
can go
right.
on all day long. And now we're spiraling. And it's this, 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 this. So I
That's
want
right.
you to process that.
And assume the
Assume.
best, right? Because that what's wrong assumes there's something that's the problem when somebody calls. And I love that too. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be a problem. I just called to say hi. Like, wow, that's nice. Or I just called to tell you
Yes.
something fabulous happened.
And
Or I just called.
I have two daughters and a son, and sometimes when my son calls, instead of me saying, "Hey son, how are you?" I'm like, "What's going on, Nate?" And he's like, "Not Nate, mom, son." Because you know I'm now all formal, right? Because I'm like, does this mean I'm going to have to take care of something financially? Or but I'm here because I know that this is my son, my daughters. And I'm here with the love principle, which is another thing that's like in one of my books, to listen. I'm not going to give you anything else but my ear. And I need them to ask me, mom, like, are you in a space to hear me? Because I may not be in the space to hear you. And I'm not going to answer my phone if I'm in a moment, if I'm having a moment with you or with anyone. I need to make sure that I'm in a moment to hear you.
Right. That word listening is so critical.
Yes.
I remember we did something for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, a campaign for them a couple years ago, and it was called Love Saves Lives. And it stood for listening, openness, vulnerability, and empathy. And the word listening being the most critical words. I love that. Like just being open to listen and being quiet. So critically important. And even what you said before, putting your hand on your heart. Most of
Yeah.
us turn over and look at our phones. I think I did it this morning in a state of worry because one of my sons called yesterday. One had a concussion. He fell at the gym. He's fine, but I was worried, is everything okay? And then the other one called, "Mom, are you around?" And that means who knows? And I chose not to answer that or call that back because I knew I wasn't in that space for listening. I had a feeling that there was going to be something going on, but I think that listening, being open to listening, and something that you said also, sometimes I'm not in that space. I may not answer the phone, and that's okay.
That
That's
too.
okay.
Yeah.
That's really like being okay with that and not saying, well, that's being a bad parent because I'm not calling right back right now. No, I'm protecting my own energy and my own space.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I will deal with that when I can deal with that.
My acronym for love, and I feel like it's something you can use for yourself because I'm always going to start with myself first to reflect on how I'm doing. And then for in your workplace with your children in your professional space, but learning to L is listen, to listen to yourself, listen to that inner voice. But also, if I'm reflecting this on someone else, then I'm going to just be here to listen to you. I'm not here to comment, to just listen, because sometimes that's what we need is a space that we could just listen to that person. And they're like, "I don't want any answers. I just need you to listen. Listen,
That's
sis,
right.
just listen." The O is observe. Observe the environments that you're in. I mean, I was at home. I had to come to the office because I knew that I didn't want internet to mess up. I didn't want anybody to interrupt me. I didn't want the football to start coming on. But observe the environment that you're in, but also the people that you are around. I know my people. Am I going to call Montrese? Am I going to call Jade? Am I going to call Sin? Am I going to call Stacy? Who are my top three people that I know will help to fill up my cup? three or four, observe the environment and the people that you're around. The moment that we all came together last year, you gave us the overflow because your cups were at a space, your cups were full. And so observe the people that you're around, and the V is validate. Validate each other, but validate yourself. Because we sometimes look for external sources to validate us. I don't need validation from everybody else, but I know how to validate myself by affirming myself and filling up my cup with the affirmation words. But also, I know how to validate you. I know your love language. I know how to validate the people that I need to be around. And I know how to validate my children when they need it, if they're open to listen. And the E in empower, the EM empower is we. Like, we're not here by ourselves. So how am I going to empower myself? I'm going to read. If I don't have the time to read, I'm going to do a Audible book, or I'm going to hop on to find my tribe at sunrise, or I'm going to watch a piece of a show or something to fill me up. But this is about being intentional, because life is life, and we all have heard that. And it ain't gonna stop. Okay.
That's right. It's about being intentional. Can you share? There's something that someone wrote, but I want to share it. It says, I teach my kids to be self-sufficient because I remember a time when mom was the first call on or on scene, and my candle was burning on both ends. I felt the burnout as their caregiver and had to let them learn so I could walk away because I was depleted. And I so get that. I think everybody on the phone probably has had those moments and worked through that. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And I love your acronym, Tracy. Listen, observe, validate, and empower. And it's empowering myself first, right? That's what you're saying. It's really empowering myself and validating ourselves and observing the situation with honesty. That's another big piece of it, is being truthful about what is really going on in the situation versus making up a story. Do you agree with that? That's critically important, like telling ourselves the truth.
Yes, I mean, we've heard the saying so often that the truth will set you free. The truth is something that you don't need to rehearse. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. We had dropped into different resources in the chat. That Four Agreement book is amazing because it speaks to not taking things personal. You know how sometimes you're like, I don't know why that person, why he didn't listen to me? Why did she not listen to me? You said what you needed to say. You said it with love. And then you were able to move forward. But it's also about what does your personal protection plan look like for you? You know, and that's when I talk about a personal protection plan, you know, that PPP, that's your medical, financial, emotional, social. We've been talking about children for the last couple of weeks, but like with your medical, are you keeping up with your own? Because we got to show our kids what it looks like. Are you going to get checked up? You know, we're older. Are you getting your mammograms? Are you getting your colon cleanses? Are you doing those things for you? Are you working out? Are you taking care of yourself? Financial. I did not need to, Kelly, can for real, ladies. My daughters are pretty self-sufficient. My son is pretty self-sufficient, but I don't have access to everybody's account. But I can see my son's account. When it gets down to like a couple of pennies, I call myself sowing seeds into him. No more. I disconnected the account. I don't need to see when your account is overdrawn. Nobody looking for me. Nobody's checking for me. And nobody needs to check for me either. So
So when
I
did you
just.
decide to do that, to take to disconnect the account? When was that? I mean, how old was he?
Look, he just turned 26. I just did it last year. Because I realized I was enabling him. I'm not a social worker. I'm a therapist. I don't want to tell you, I don't want to like fish with you. I want to show you how to do it so you can do it on your own. And that was way too long. That was way too long for me to keep my eye on his account. And the thing about it is when your kids are in school or in spaces, and I'm not talking about all kids, everybody's different, but I had the student account with him so I could see when I needed to do this. But now he's an adult. Everybody, I
Right.
need them to adult. I want them to know if Tracy is gone tomorrow, how you gonna handle your bills? How you gonna handle your mental health, your physical health? Do you have the resources? This is the doctor that you call, or this is the support circle or resource that you call. This is who you pray to, or this is who uplifts you. And then the village,
Yes.
I need you to have your three people. Who can you call? And I don't need it just to be on paper. Like, you need to call them, not when you get to the end and you like, guess what? I done crash. Before you start crashing, before you start spiraling,
That's right.
well, who? And not just one person. I need you to get at least three people,
Absolutely. But the part that you just said, I feel you completely. How do we get our children, our adult children, to be self-sufficient, to be able to take care of themselves? Because it's true, we're not always going to be here. And, I think that sometimes we as parents do too much. We enable too much. We do too much when the kids are little. So they don't learn how, it's like learned helplessness. And we
Yes.
teach them learned helplessness. They don't know how to do anything for themselves. Similarly, one of my kids needed a prescription refill. And I had to walk him through. He's 20 years old. To walk him through, you need to look at the bottle. You need to call the pharmacy, do the refill. If you don't have a refill, you got to reach out to the doctor. Well, what's the phone number? I'm thinking, I did that. I can't even blame the boy. But now it's an opportunity to, say, okay, we're going to have a different reality and let's learn how to do this. I need to teach you how to do these things because he just
Yes.
doesn't know. We never taught them. And so I think that's a big, big realization too. Learning how to enable, ideally when they're smaller, so that when they are 20 and 23, and in your case 26, they know how to do these things
But the
already.
thing about it is, I talked to him about this every year of his life when he
Oh, I
started with the
didn't.
little bank, and they keep building on financial literacy and all of these things. But the thing about it is, they don't need it until they need it.
That's
It's
true.
like somebody
That's
teaching
true.
you how to use
That's true.
protection before you need protection. You're like, I'm not doing anything. I haven't lost my
That's
virginity. So
right.
why are you telling me? I don't want to hear all this. And then finally, you're like, so how do you use a condom again? When do you
That's
switch it?
right.
So until you actually need it, you don't use it. It's like being a first generation in college. We talk
That's
about this
right.
all the time. At every stage of this, nobody has done this but me. So they didn't know to send me a care package. They didn't know to come up
That's
for
right.
homecoming. They didn't know.
That's
And
right.
as parents, we don't have a toolkit for this.
That's
This is a
right.
first time experience every single day of our life. So that's why we have support systems in place.
I
So
was just about to say that
I
because
have.
we didn't have that necessarily, but that's why so many of these tribes exist. Like you said, our sunrise community is a tribe, and we learn these incredible tools every week with things that you're sharing and things from Sylvia and Dr. Collins, and everybody that comes on drops incredible nuggets every week to add to our toolkit every single week.
Yes.
So I love that. So how are you dealing with your 26-year-old son now and the cutting off the account? How is that going? Or the access to his account?
Well, so he's the kind of kid that he's not going to ask. My daughters will say, "Hey, mom, can you give me this?" And I give it back. And I explain to them, like with friends, if you loan somebody money and they don't give it back, then that's going to end the relationship. I don't expect to get it back, but I also will, I connect him with other resources. I'm like, first thing is an emergency plan. What is your emergency fund look like? Because y'all think I'm rich. And I'm an entrepreneur. Sometimes I got money, sometimes I don't. But it's still mine. You don't have privy to this. And one of my daughters said to me, "I didn't ask to be here. Like, you birthed me." I said, "But you're an adult. I didn't ask for you. Look, God birthed you for real, okay? But I didn't ask to be in this situation where the tools that I gave you aren't using them. So that's a cop out. So let's just be real. Let's set some boundaries. If I'm not here, what are you going to do? What does your savings look like?" And so they need to know that. And then their support system. Me and my girlfriends, we know our boundaries. We know if I loan you the money, you're gonna give it back. And 'cause these are the kind of friends we got. So what is her friendships look like? What does his friendships look like? And I'm not asking you to go ask another brother or somebody else for money, but solutions. Like we are, we're all mothers or fathers. Like, girl, what did you do the last time that he? I said no. I said, you gonna work it out, son. I remember one time I thought my dad had the money. I asked him for something and he said, you know what? You got this. I'm like, no, I really don't. No, you got this. You know, if it's for you, you're gonna get it. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So my son, now that he lives in another state, I was like, look, we're gonna give you our Costco card. You're gonna go get what you eat them ramen noodles, gonna get a whole box of them. You're gonna get hot dogs, you can do chili dogs one day, chili and beans another day, chili and mac the next day. Like you got that's 10 hot dogs for 10 days. I'm just showing you how to be resourceful. You can't go to
That's great.
Starbucks right now, brother. I don't care. You're gonna get a pot and boil some water, have some instant Folgers, okay? You're gonna keep your cup full a different way. So it's just giving them the tools that we used. Girl,
You
you
said
don't
the
have to
instant.
have
That's what I
eggs,
have
bacon
today
with
where
your, you
I
don't need three eggs. You
am.
just need one egg today.
Exactly. And you spread it out and put some pepper on it, and you're good. So I want to get back to this notion of the cup being full, and would love for you to share why it's so important for us as parents to practice keeping our cup full and not giving everything away. Can you
Yes.
talk about that, please?
So for me, it's rituals. I need consistency as
Yes.
what you all don't like. I didn't grow up with a lot of consistency in my life. So I value structure. I need to know like what's next. One of my daughters was diagnosed with ADHD in kindergarten. Way before then, it was very difficult for me to say, my baby needs medication. And I knew that I needed, as a therapist, I needed to put behavior modifications in place. And I also needed to figure out how she's going to manage this on her own. She didn't want the school giving her meds. Of course, now we have time release capsules and all of that. But it was a matter of me and filling up my cup, realizing that I'm going to go crazy processing how to take care of her. So I had to create rituals. So you're going to create your. I don't know. I'm gonna call it, since we're talking about S's, your sanity ritual. Like, what type of things can I do? Because we all know it's a thin line. You like, I'm right here. I'm right here. Like, I can go left, but I want to stay right. So, what are you doing to make sure that your cup is full that you do on a regular basis? And the things that society says that we need to do, we don't need to tap into technology every day. You can say this is I'm not doing this today. It's too overstimulating. I'm gonna cut off. I'm not gonna take any calls, and I'll let them know, y'all, I'm not taking no calls today. Call your dad or call your other people on your list or a resource out there. My daughter works from home. She works for 988, suicide prevention. But you're gonna be okay. Remember when your kid first started playing a sport, they're like, well, we gotta tell you something. You're like, is he alive? Because a broken bone, concussion, any of those things, we can manage. Is he alive and well? Well, he's real close to not being okay, but he is alive, right? Okay, so now we can process this. But even if he's not, then that's the worst. We know that we've seen over time with loss that I have to get to this space, and I know that may be morbid for me, that I'm still gonna be okay and he's still gonna be okay, because guess what? He's going back to where he came from. And I know that's a space to not, I don't even want that to happen. But for me, I know that I am not in control of my children's destiny for real. I ain't even control of my own. So that's that take off. I'm gonna like, y'all, I'm not accessible to you all today. And then also me writing that gratitude list, my journals. I'm always writing the things that I'm thankful for. I'm having that inner conversation with myself. I'm so glad I'm able to walk today. Because if I have to catch a flight, I might have to. I ain't gonna be able to run, but my cardio, my heart ain't gonna be over because I've been working out. You know, as much as I don't like to,
I love
moving my
that. The
body. Yeah.
gratitude piece. The gratitude piece is so critically important because that right there, like shifting the paradigm to say, I'm grateful for these things and being clear and specific. I think that's an easy thing we can
Yes,
do to fill
yes.
our cups.
And then for you, like I know a little bit about you, I don't know, but I know you like rap music. Like everybody loves music, right? I hope. Find something that you love to do to move your body, whether it's stretching, walking, breathing deeply, but playing the music, dancing. I love Grey's Anatomy. Remember when they used to be like, let's dance? Like, you need to be able to dance by yourself. My
And
playlist
try the
is.
TikTok challenges like our kids do. Those are fun.
Yes,
You can do them
yes.
alone.
Sitting in my car, listening to the music, and sometimes sitting in the car and cutting everything off and listening just to the birds, dude, like all of that. We need safe spaces to center ourselves. I know people have war rooms and closets. I have to have a whole nother space because I like to move furniture around, but needing a space to play my music. I have playlists, whether it's YouTube, whether it's my phone, whether it's the radio. I'm going to be intentional about what I'm hearing. And then how are you going to treat yourself? Every day I got to treat myself to something, even if it's just a warm cup of tea, coffee. And this is my treat, to read a chapter in a book, to call my friend and say, hey, friend, hey, sis, you got this. Stroll, like, go down. Like, I think that, that endless, like, you just like, I didn't know I just spent a whole hour doing this. Like, but what are you scrolling through? Are you scrolling through positive stuff or mess? I don't want to scroll through mess. So I'm going to delete those things. And now I think your phone is asking you, is this interesting to you?
Yes,
No,
it is.
it's not. I don't want to see this news. I don't want to see this. I want to see the things. Your algorithms will tell you who you are.
That's
So,
exactly right. Those are great. Those are great tools. I want to make sure that we open up time for people to share or ask a question or make a comment this morning. So if you are on your phone, you can hit star 9 to come off of mute or ask a question in the chat. That's fine as well. Someone asked about the book. It looks like T answered that question. Oh, that was the Susan Taylor book. It was called Living the Spirit, I believe.
one is called Lessons in Living, and
Lessons in Living.
one is called In the Spirit.
Yes,
I was trying to
I
look
think it
for
was In the Spirit was the one I was referring to. That's a great one.
it. And let me tell you all something. My top shelf is the Can't Take It With You shelf. I'm not gonna let you take my books.
No, that's right.
I have other books in a space that you can read, but you can't take it with you, you know? And I mean,
And
you
they're
know,
all and
I have them right here. All of
The
these
Inner
books.
Fitness Revolution. I think that my favorite book, one of my favorites, is The Little Book of Big Lies. And it's
What?
such a great resource. The one chapter about, I'll share this because it's related to the cup being full, but it's the chapter about up until now. Up until now, we've created all these stories or we've had all this trauma or whatever it may have been. But from this point forward, we can create the life we want and the life we choose. That's it. It's
I
having
have a
that
book.
one shift. Go ahead, Tracy.
No, I love poetry, and I wrote a book called Own Your Now, and it's interactive, but the cool thing for me with Own Your Now is it was things that I would listen to in therapy with other women, and I realized that sometimes when you're in the moment, you think, I'm the only one going through this, or not going through this, I'm the only one growing through this. What does it look like to be on the other side? But own your now. Own and now is the same word. It's just me. And so being in the moment, it's a mindfulness tool of I need to sit with this. If the pandemic didn't happen, it's a whole lot of stuff we wouldn't have been able to sit with and open our eyes to and realize I don't want to do this anymore. If so many people quit their jobs or left their state or left their relationship or found themselves because they left themselves and sat with themselves and said, you know what? Things are going to look different now for me.
That's it. Then you everything you just said, I'm like, yep. And as you sip your tea, that's such a good point. It is such a good point. So there's a question that says, how do you balance providing opportunities for empowerment and needing guidance for your children? That's a
So
great question.
I think the piece of empowerment that we said early is the EM, and empowerment is we. And finding the needed guidance means finding resources for your children. Just like we find resources for ourselves, we need to find a plethora of resources for them in every area of our life. You know, we talk about the pies, The physical, the emotional, the intellectual, the spiritual, the financial. What type of resources have we found for our children? Because and finding it, and I saw Tyosha talking about her kids. She says, I'm a part of the things for my head of now. I'm an entrepreneur and wondering, how did you manage to begin with? And it is fear, but let me tell you something. Fear and faith don't reside in the same space. We hear it, but you have to take the leap anyway. You do one step at a time. When I first started my private practice over 20 years ago, I needed a space that I could put that my children, they literally were on the other side of the door. There are times that, Kelly, I was doing therapy and I could see my hand, my son's fingers under the door, but they were on the other side of the door and I had different resources there for them. But it's putting those boundaries in place. That's the other thing. I remember I could sit in the bathroom and my kids, for real, they would be right there on the edge of the tub while I'm boo-booing. I'm like, no, get out. Mommy needs this time. I had to set those boundaries. And it's the little things that now they can set those boundaries. Get out. Ain't nobody supposed to be sitting, walking all through the bathroom.
Right.
They can
You
make
have
themselves.
that you make your space and your time and have boundaries. I love that. I think that's really true. I think it's
Yes.
and it's important to ask. I think your part about listening is important too, because a part of empowering other people is asking those questions, asking the right questions so they can figure it out themselves versus doing everything for them. It's like that thing we talked about earlier about learned helplessness, which we often do everything too much for our
Yeah.
kids, so they don't learn how to do it themselves. So empowering them is letting them learn, letting them figure things out, and guiding them. I think there was a woman here once, Bev Kearney. She talked about the importance of being a guide from the side and not a sage
Yes.
from the stage. So operating like a coach, like a, you
A
know, when you see
consultant, your
coaches running up
easy.
and down, they're playing the game, but you're coaching them and giving them the tools and the plays. You know, helping them do the plays, but letting them do it.
I was thinking about Dion. He's like, look, I've given my kids
Exactly.
all the tools. Now they can be coachable. Our
That's
kids
right.
can be coachable and oftentimes listen to others more than they listen to us. But the
That's
other
right.
thing is, we talking about love languages. One of my kids, I can talk to her and she gets it. She's like, I got you, mom. My son, I have to text it to him for him to read it when he's in the space to hear it. So now he can go back and scroll and listen, and then I'll find something to back it up, maybe a quote or some kind of podcast or a man saying the same thing I'm saying or however he needs to hear it. But
That's right.
oftentimes he's not ready to hear it from me. So I have to type it out and send it, and then he'll read it. He said, Mom, trust me, I'm going to read it by the end of the day. And that's part of the boundary. All I ask is that you read it by the end of the day. And then if you comment back to me, let me know I got it. I heard you. Give me one thing. I need to hold you accountable, just like you holding me accountable as your mom. I'm going to hold you accountable, and
Exactly.
back to that
What is this?
website. So she said, I'm slow to post. Is there a schedule you use? Look, I just post. I just do it. I literally just do it. And then later on, if I spell, because people are like, you spelled this wrong or whatever, then I delete it and start over again. But just post. Just do it.
That's interesting. I think for me, that's so deep because I think part of I think that's great that you say, I just do it. And I know Dr. Vicky does that too, posts frequently. It's wonderful. I have chosen to not recently just because it's been one of those things of being focused on myself. And it takes a lot out of me for some reason. It adds stress sometimes. So I've said, I'm just not going to do it. And that's okay too.
It
I think you have
is.
to do it when you feel right, when it feels good and it feels right. It's not performative, you know?
And there are calendars for this. I was looking at her thing in the chat. There are calendars that you can use to put different things in place. I'm a ritual person, so I tend to want to have, I know what I'm gonna, I do every time I finish the gym, I'll go to my Instagram page and I'll do a meditation moment. And I do it for myself. I mean, I may say, hey, sis, you got this, but I'm also saying, hey, sis, you got this to me because I need to hear myself. I need to hear myself louder than I hear anyone else. You need to hear yourself louder than you hear anyone else, because the things that I have done and things that many of us will do, nobody else has done before. So they might be like, I don't know what that's going to look like. That's fine. I do. It's
Right.
my idea.
Because it's in your head. I love that. I'd love for you to talk about, Jade said, boundaries to boo-boo on your own. I love that. I'd love to explore what that means exactly. Boundaries to boo-boo on your own. Can you, and you're laughing, Tracy. Can you share more about that or around that?
I think she was talking about when I said I had to create boundaries around boo-booing. I had to create boundaries around telling my kids, get out the bathroom. Okay.
Oh, got you. And
I
Jade
need
came
this
off camera
time
on
to
camera.
now I'm on
Gotcha,
my
gotcha.
own, owning your now. I need to own my now. What does it look
Yes.
like for you? Okay, Kelly, how do you center yourself every day? What's the one thing you do every day? One thing where nobody is
I
a
do
part
my
of.
daily word and my prayers. That's the first thing. And then while I'm in Florida, I walk on the beach and talk to my dad. That's where he passed away 13 years ago. So I feel, and I did that every day last week, and it felt incredible. So I go for my morning walk after I do my prayers, and I talk to my dad. Feel very close to him there. And I
Yes.
love the water, like you said. So it's my peaceful place. It's just me. And it's just heavenly. I mean, literally, that's where I feel safest and clearest and at peace. And it's just wonderful. That's what I do every day.
And that's important that you have that you have the beach that you can go walk every day. But if you cannot leave your house, you can go in the bathroom and run some water. When
That's
you're
right.
sitting there releasing, like we talked
That's
about,
right.
you're
That's
releasing.
right.
You don't have any control over that.
That's right.
And that's your private space to then say, now what? How am I going to fill my cup up? I want to make sure that I drink plenty of water because
That's
I know
right.
that my back, if I wake up and my back is hurting because I maybe had a glass of wine before I went to sleep, I can't have a, I still might want to have that glass of wine, but I'm going to flush my body with some lemon water. And that's one
Yes.
thing that I'm doing. Like, I'm going to drink this water, whether it's hot or cold. I'm going to do
Yes.
something for myself before I wake up and give my kids, when they were little, I didn't have somebody waking up giving me breakfast and everything. And I still came out fine, I just want to say.
Yes, you
But
did.
I was like, I want my kids to have that. So I wanted to make sure that they woke up smelling cinnamon rolls and all that stuff, all the good stuff that Dee be having in her house. The oatmeals and stuff, but that's what I did. I intentionally got up earlier and I would go out on my three season porch, like she said in her, and I would drink my coffee and tea while the house was still quiet.
Yes.
And then I was able to pour into everybody else's cup. I don't like to cook, but if I cook, I'm gonna have music going, I'm gonna have my glass of wine or my coffee or my tea while I'm cooking.
Yes.
I don't like going to the grocery store. If I go to the grocery store, I'm gonna get a big bouquet of flowers and put it in the basket so I can smell the flowers.
Yes.
I don't have to
Yes.
purchase them. We put stuff back all the time.
Okay, that's hilarious. I did not think about that. What? You walk around the store with the flowers and then put them back. Oh my God, that's hilarious. That is so funny. You get
making a
the
reason.
sensory effect. That's fantastic.
Yes, I'm an aromatherapy girl, so I need all of that. And I don't need a lot of space to do those things that I need
Yes.
from myself.
And you're so right. I was just thinking about that because I'm not always in Florida. And when I'm in Maryland or wherever, take my morning cup of coffee with my little daily word. It pops up in my phone and I think about the word of the day. And it's always very divine what happens to pop up for that day. And it's just deep. But the cup of coffee is an important ritual as well. And I haven't had that this morning and I feel it. I feel the that I'm missing it, I'll just say.
That was so the other piece of the cup of coffee when we started the Own Your Now show on Facebook and YouTube during the pandemic, it was because I would drink coffee with my mother every morning. So when I lost my mother and my dad, when I lost my mom during the pandemic, there was no more fixing a cup of coffee and talking to her. So for me drinking cup of coffee is a symbolism of me listening to my mom and the things that she said. Fortunately, journaling is a part of our history. My legacy, my mom journals. She left the journals to my daughters. I journal. But the other thing is, my mom used to say, you may not have a lot, Your bra and panties need to match. You need to be clean, and you need to make sure that you lotion your body down. So I am a sensory person. So part of me lotioning myself is me speaking over myself and all those things. So those are all things that I do before I leave out the house. I'm leaving out the house clean, smelling good. I've drunk my coffee or my tea. I've had that conversation with someone bigger than me. I'm more connected to my mom, like you probably are to your dad spiritually, than we were physically.
That's so true. That's so true. And this morning's word is healing and using the power of healing words. And so I find that so divine too. It goes on and on about words and the power of words to heal. And so having you here this morning and talking about owning our now and all of these incredible tools you've given us, I find also really divine. So everything is divine and all interconnected. There's time for one last thought, Tracy, as we wrap up our session this morning and turn over to Dr. Vicky to close us out. I just want to give you an opportunity to share your last thoughts today about filling our cup and pouring from the overflow.
Okay, well, Vicky would not let me leave without doing the joy cipher. We said words matter. Kelly, you put in healing. If everybody can drop one word in the chat that you feel, that affirmation word that keeps you strong today, please drop that in the chat. And we do this every Wednesday on our talk show on the Own Your Now show at the end of it. I love words, but I know that trauma is real. So I've always had to get things out instead of like holding things in. And Vicky named this, she coined it the joy cipher, y'all. So,
I love it.
but this is what it looks like to fill up my cup. Wherever I go, I write these words down. I grab, this is the moment of us owning your now. It's something that cannot be done again because it's in the moment, it's owning your now. And Kel, did you put your word in? Was it healing?
Put love.
Hello. Okay. All right. So our last word is grateful, peaceful. My word is going to be rise. So I'll put in rise. Are we good? I think we're good. Okay. So let me go back to the beginning. It's called the joy cipher. It's important that you understand the joy of what it looks like when we come together and find hope. Together, when we find hope, we find peace. And peace looks like us all knowing that faith walk is a journey, it's a choice. When you love yourself, then you listen, you observe, and you validate yourself. You find the value of what hopefulness looks like because I know that when I take that gratitude journey, I'm going to walk to my truth and understand that I will find the love that I need on the inside. And I'll be able to say that I am grateful for this because I have made the choice to understand what it looks like to find peacefulness within. And there's power in the peacefulness that we will continue to rise together. Thank you.
Incredible. So
Thank you.
incredible. That is such a gift and such a genius. Just wow on every level. Thank you for doing the joy cipher. That's incredible. Thank you, Tracy.
Kelly, thank you. Thank you for
I
everything
felt
that you
it
do.
in every moment, every I felt everything you said so beautifully, so beautiful.
Thank
Well,
you.
thank you for being here
Thank you
today.
for having me.
Jay, were you about to say something? I see you.
I just had to say that Tracy Berry McGee sews together those words as though she's bringing forth every message from our ancestors and the people who loved and sacrificed and did these things for us to be here. It's so seamless and automatic, and she just embodies, in the Clark sisters say, endow me. She is endowed, and I love her so much. This was a gift.
It's a gift. I agree. Said so beautifully. Thank you for sharing. I agree. 100%. Thank you, Jade, for
You.
that.
Love
Thank you,
y'all. Thank you,
Jade. Thank
Barry.
you, Joy. Oof. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Dr. Vicky, let's turn it over to you. Close us out this morning. Thank you so much.
Tracy just closed us out. That was
She
powerful.
sure did.
Thank you for the joy. Amen. And so it is.
Amen. And
Ashe.
so it is.
Listen, namaste. All the benedictions. No
It's
matter
so
your
true,
practice.
Vicky.
Have
It's
a
so
wonderful
true.
week, everyone. And we will see you again on next Sunday. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Kelly.
Yes.
Thank you, Dee.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Sunrise
Have a
family.
good
Have a
day.
powerful day.
Yes.
You too.
Absolutely. God bless everybody. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.